You're listening to a Here's Hope America Hope Chest audio sermon. This is part two of a part three message entitled An Obvious Contrast, and is taken from the scripture passage of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. The sermon was given on February the 6th, 2005, at the First Baptist Church of Branson in Branson, Missouri. The speaker is Pastor Jay Scribner, Executive Director of Here's Hope America.
Turn, please, if you will, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. We actually started this message last Sunday morning, a message entitled An Obvious Contrast. I pointed out to you last week that Paul has been revealing to us for the first 16 verses of this chapter the fact that we need to walk in unity. And we spent quite a bit of time, 13 sermons, I think, on those first 16 verses, looking at the exhortations of Paul and the admonitions to the church that we are to walk in unity. And now we've moved into a section, verses 17 to 32, where Paul is going to say to the church, not only do we need to walk in unity, but we need to walk in purity. And I don't know that there is any more of a vital issue for the church than this section right here, verses 17 to 32, that would relate to us that we need to be a pure church. And we need to individually and collectively, corporately, we need to walk in purity. And in this section, Paul begins by showing an obvious contrast. And we started looking at that last week. And we're going to see verses 17, 18, and 19 where he shows us a godless walk. Now, let me stop there just for a minute, because when we talk about the word godless, a lot of times we associate that maybe with the word ungodly, and I think maybe there's a misunderstanding. So I just want to clarify the fact that when we talk about a godless walk, we're just simply referring to someone that is godless. When we think about ungodly, we may think about somebody like Saddam Hussein. But you know, the fact of the matter is, you might be living with someone that has a godless walk, or you might be sitting next to someone that is godless. He's less God in his life. He just doesn't have God in his life. And so there might be someone that you're living with that is on a godless walk, or your next door neighbor might be someone that is on a godless walk. Or maybe someone you're working next to at the office is someone that is godless. So I just want us to understand that when we're talking about, and look at your outline, because that's the first section of this outline. The Lord willing, next week we'll look at someone that has a godly walk. But today we're looking at someone that has a godless walk, someone that doesn't know God. And so this is an obvious contrast that Paul is presenting for us here. He's talking about the unsaved person versus the saved person. Now, where do you fall into what category? Are you unsaved or are you saved? There's probably somebody, and maybe a number of you here today, that is unsaved. Now, obviously, there are many of us here that are saved. How about he's talking about someone that is a heathen versus a Christian? So what category do you fall into? Now, clarify that for your mind, in your own mind, because it's important as we go throughout this message today that you know where you stand. Are you saved or are you unsaved? Are you a heathen or are you a Christian? Are you unchurched or are you churched? I'm not talking about are you a member of a church or are a member of a Baptist church. I'm not talking about that. You're either unchurched because you're not a member of the body of Christ or else you're churched because you are a member of the body of Christ. And we spoke to this last week as we were ending the first portion of this message. And, we said you either have Christ or you don't have Christ. You with me? You either have Christ in your life or you don't have Christ in your life. You either are a Christian or you're not a Christian. Very clear cut. Very obvious, and you ought to know that. So get a grip on that. Get a handle on it spiritually. You either have Christ or you don't. You either are a Christian or you're not. You either are saved or you're not saved. You either have God's Holy Spirit living in you, do you? And you know that. You know whether or not you do. You either have God's Holy Spirit in you or you don't have God's Spirit in you. Well, tonight's the big football game. It's Super Bowl 39. Some of you are pretty excited about that. Some of you are pretty excited about going to a party or having a get together when the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles have it off in Florida for Super Bowl 39. And you know, I got thinking about that, and I believe that Christianity is a lot like the football. You either have the football in your possession, or you don't have the football in your possession. It's like this. Church for these 16 verses, talking to you about walking in unity. Therefore, look what he says in verse 17, this I say and testify in the Lord that you henceforth, remember we talked about that last week, henceforth, from now on, from this moment on, listen up, church, that's what he's saying, listen up, henceforth, from now on, this I'm saying to you, and I testify, that from now on, don't you walk, don't you live like other Gentiles, like the ungodly heathen. That's what he's saying there. Don't you live like the ungodly heathen. He's saying, come on, church. I've been talking to you about walking in unity. Now I'm going to talk to you about walking in purity. And so from now on, from henceforth, don't you walk and don't you live like the ungodly heathen do. Then he gives us these three things to identify exactly what he's talking about. He's saying in the last part of verse 17, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. Verse 18, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. We looked at that last week. Vanity has to do with being deprived of the truth. Darkened means that you're deprived of the light. And he's saying, don't be like that. He said, those unsaved people, those heathen, those unchurched, they're functioning, their minds are darkened. Their minds are darkened. Why is it that they are godless? Because their minds are darkened. Well, not only are their minds darkened, but their spirits are dead. And that's what he says there in verse 18, being alienated from the life of God. Remember we talked about that? Alienated means they're estranged. They're shut out from intimacy. Now, let me stop there just for a minute. That may be exactly like some of you. You may not have an intimacy with God. And the reason you don't have an intimacy with God is because you're godless. You're estranged from God. You're shut out from intimacy with God. You're alienated from God. How is it with you? Where do you stand? Where do you stand today? Have you come to grips with that? I mean, you either got it or you ain't got it. And so if you ain't got it, you're godless. Your minds are darkened, but their spirits are dead. Why? Well, we pointed out, and he points out here in verse 18, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. We talked about that last week. It's because of ignorance. Because of ignorance. A lack of knowledge spiritually. A lack of moral understanding. There's a moral blindness in people's lives. And so that may be exactly why someone is godless. Why someone doesn't have God in their life. Why someone doesn't have that intimacy with God. That closeness with God. Their spirits are dead because of ignorance. Now here's the last thing that we pointed out to you last week, but we didn't have time to elaborate on it. And that is because of hardness. That's also found for us in verse 18, where it says, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Now look at this. Because of the blindness of their heart. Because of the blindness of their heart. Now that word blindness actually means hardness. It's an interesting word. It's the word perosis. And you might want to write down Romans chapter 11, verse 25, Romans 11, 25, and look at that sometime, either now or at your own leisure. It's the same word that's used there in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, in relationship to the Jews. And this is an eschatological type of perspective where it says in Romans 11, 25, that blindness in part, and that word, same word, perosis in part, it's like a hard covering. It's like a hard covering over their eyes. But it says in Romans 11, 25, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles. I love this phrase. I love this statement. Until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. That hardness, that perosis, that hard covering is over their eyes. And that's what Paul is saying here. Why is someone godless? Because of the blindness of their lives, the blindness of their heart. And matter of fact, this phrase of their heart, you know, we recognize the heart as the center of all physical and spiritual life. We use that terminology, don't we? We talk about inviting Jesus Christ into your heart. Yeah. So we use that terminology, and we recognize it then as it's sort of a spiritual control center of your life, and it's a good biblical perspective. The your heart being sort of the spiritual headquarters, the spiritual control center of your life. So of their heart, that's recognized as the center of all physical and spiritual life. Now let me go back to Romans 11:25, where it says this hardness, this porosis, this covering has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And here's why I like that phrase so much. That could be today. I get so excited about that. That could be in just a few minutes. See, we're going to give an invitation. And somebody right here in this auditorium, you might be realizing already, Jay's talking to you, the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you. You might be realizing already, you ain't got it. You ain't got possession of Jesus Christ. You may know that right now, or by the time this sermon's over, you may know it. Now, guess this. When we give the invitation, you may get up out of your seat and walk the aisle and come forward and say, Pastor, I want to be saved. We'll put you with a counselor, and they'll spend some time with you today. And then before you leave this building, you can invite Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Savior. Now, what if you do that? And God says, That's it. That's the last Gentile. That's the one. He's the one. She's the one. That's it. And he turns to Gabriel and says, go ahead and blow it. Huh? The fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And God says, okay. That's the last one. That's it. Man, think about those prospects. Think about the possibility. Now, my friend, that's the term that's used there in Romans 11:25, that blindness in part, porosis, there's a hard covering. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. It's the very same word here in verse 18 that there are godless people, their spirits are dead. Why? Well, because of ignorance, but also because of hardness. I think there are lots and lots of people. Not only are people dumb to the gospel, and there are lots of people that are dumb to the gospel. Remember last week I told you that's understandable because spiritual things have to be spiritually discerned. And I pointed out to you last week from Corinthians that the lost people think the gospel and think Christianity and Christians are foolish. And not only are there a lot of people that are dumb to the gospel, but have you noted that there are lots of people that are numb to the gospel? They're just numb to the gospel. Some of you would be like that. Just flat out numb to the gospel. Now, why is that? I think it's because of sin and because of selfishness and because of wrong habits that we allow ourselves to get into and because of society. I think these things, hardness. Flip one over just for a moment in Ephesians. Flip over to the next chapter, chapter 5, and look at verse 12. Actually, verse 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, where he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now look at this. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now read that verse again. For it is a shame even to speak of those things that are done of them in secret. Let me ask you something. Has society changed at all over the decades? Go like this. Oh, my. Well, let me ask you. You know, just like tonight, you're going to be watching the Super Bowl. Has what you see on your TV changed over the last 10 years? 15, 20 years? Has it? Oh, my. Unbelievable. And the fact of the matter is, we're going to be watching Super Bowl tonight, and a lot of us will sit there and we'll just soak it up. And we'll watch. We're going to see some trash. We're going to see some trash tonight. Now, hopefully, ain't going to be the kind of trash we saw last Super Bowl. But you're going to see some trash tonight. You just are. Because of society. Because of what's happened to society. And because we've allowed that to happen to society. But look what it says there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 12. It's a shame. It's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. That's not happening in our society today, my friend. You can turn on any television. You can turn on any television show. You can turn on any talk show. You can turn on any radio talk show. You can pick up the newspaper. And I'm telling you, the things that people talk about today, it ain't the kind of stuff that we talked about 10, 15, 20 years ago, is it? You can go into any high school today and walk down the halls. And a lot of us would be flat out shocked with some of the conversation that's going on in the high schools today. Well, go down to the junior high. You'd be shocked at some of the conversations going on in the junior high school hallways today, my friend. And hey, I hate to tell you this, you go to some of the elementary schools and you're going to hear stuff. You stand in the hallways for 6 hours and a day, and I'm telling you, you're going to hear stuff coming from some of these children, and you're thinking, I can't believe they're talking like that. I can't believe they're talking about that. I can't believe they're dialoguing and having that type of dialogue exchange. Where are they getting that stuff? Well, they're hearing it at home. They're hearing it everywhere. And do we not know that it is even a shame to talk about those things? Well, no, the answer to that question is no. Not in today's society. We don't know that. Here's what I'm saying. Why are people hardened? Why is there a blindness? Why is this perosis existing with godless people? It's because of sin, it is because of selfishness, it is because of wrong habits, and it is because of society that has hardened us to the voice of God. It works like this, and I think I've probably used this illustration. I've used it lots of times. I don't know if I've used it here, but as I was growing up, our yard used to be the gathering place for the kids in the community, basically. And now, a lot of that was because I was related to almost all the kids in the community. Man, I had more cousins living in that town than I could count. And so, a lot of times, almost any given afternoon, you could come to our yard, and we had a good-sized backyard, had a great big field on the side of our yard that we kept mowed, and man, that became our ball diamond, our football field. I mean, almost anything we wanted to do. And my cousins and lots of other people in town would come up, and come supper time, my mom would walk outside on the back porch, and she would see us playing here in the backyard or the side yard, and she'd say, Jay, she'd get my attention, and she'd say, it's time to come in. And I knew that when Mom said it's time to come in, that meant it was time to come in. And so I would respond to that. Now, there would be times that we'd be playing out in our yard, and my cousin Terry would say, let's go down to my yard and play. And we'd do that. We'd just head out to the cornfield that was behind our house. And it was just, I mean, Terry, Uncle Bill and Aunt Norma's house were just right down there. You see it. And just through the cornfield. So you run through the cornfield, and man, all of a sudden we're down in Terry's backyard playing down there. My mom would come out on the porch, and she'd look around. She'd see that we weren't playing in our yard, and she'd look down. She'd see that we were down in Uncle Bill and Aunt Norma's yard, and she'd say, Jay, have to yell a little louder, Jay. She'd finally get my attention, and she'd say, it's time to come home. And I'd take off running through the cornfield and be home. Now, there were times when we were down at Terry's house And Mike would say, let's go on down to my house. And so we all get on our bikes, and we'd ride down the South Road. And that's about three-quarters to a mile on down to Uncle Henry and Aunt Betty's house. And that's where we'd be playing. Now, my mom would come out on the back porch, and she'd see that we weren't there out in our side yard. And she'd look down there, and she'd yell, Jay! Jay! Well, I didn't hear her. Man, I was way down south. I'd gone down South Street, and I got out of earshot. And so Mom would go in, and she'd get on the phone, and she'd call Aunt Betty, and she'd say, the kids down there playing? She'd say, oh, yeah, they're out there in our backyard playing. She'd well, tell Jay it's time to come home. You see, I'd gotten so far down South Street that I'd gotten out of earshot of Mom. The fact of the matter is, some of you spiritually, you've gotten so far down South Street that you've gotten out of earshot of God. You've gotten out of earshot of God's voice. It's hard to hear God's voice because of sin in your life. Because of self-centeredness in your life. Because of wrong habits in your life. Because of society. And because you done gone so far down South Street, you're out of earshot of God. You can't hear God's voice. And that's why you're godless in your life. Let me show you this last thing. We're talking about a godless walk. You see, their minds are darkened. Their spirits are dead because of ignorance and because of hardness. And their lives are defiled. Their lives are defiled. Why do we have godless people? Their lives are defiled. Now, that's verse 19. Now, look what it says in verse 19. It says, who being past feeling... Who being past feeling. Now, that's an interesting word. It's a word that means to cease to feel pain or grief. It means to be apathetic. It means to be insensitive. They're past feeling. Now, there are people like that, my friend. Some of you are like that. Some of you are like that. It's a word that's illustrated for us over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, and I believe we're living in those days, my friend, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now look at this. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Now look, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now it's just like this. It's exactly like this. You can take a piece of cloth, and that's exactly what I've done right here, just a soft piece of cloth. And you place an iron on it. Place an iron on it until you sear it. And here's what's happened. This portion that's been seared, it's calloused. It's hardened. It's rough. It's not at all like the cloth that the rest of the cloth or like it was. It's not soft. It's not pliable. It's not supple like the rest of the cloth. Instead, it's become seared with a hot iron. It's become calloused. And hardened. Now, my friend, that's exactly the picture here. Being past feeling. People that cease to feel pain or grief. They're apathetic. They're insensitive. I would just add this. There's no sense of guilt. Oh, wow. Welcome to the 21st century, my friend. There's no sense of guilt. They're past feeling. And I'm telling you, I deal with people like that constantly. People that have no sense of guilt. And again, I think it goes back to what I was saying to you earlier. Because of sin. Because of self-centeredness. Because of wrong habits. Because of society. Because everything is so acceptable to us today. That's why you and I will sit in the, at the Super Bowl and we'll watch that. And we'll say, oh man, I can't believe that. But we won't do anything about it. It's like we have our conscience seared with a hot iron to where there's an insensitivity. There's a hardness. There's a callousness anymore. Now look what happens, see? Read that in verse 19. Who, being past feeling, now look at this, have given themselves over. It isn't anybody, it isn't the fact that someone's led us astray. We have given ourselves over. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves. These are deliberate choices and deliberate decisions that we are making in our lives. Have given themselves over. Now, here's a $5 word. Look at this. Unto lasciviousness. And that word simply means unbridled lust, licentiousness. That means where we think, hey, we got a license. We got a license to do anything. I'm an American. I'm 21. I can do it. So there's a licentiousness, a license. We think we got a license to live any flat way we want to live. Am I talking to you about the day and age in which we live, huh? You with me? Everybody with me? Unbridled lust, licentiousness, shamelessness. Now look what it says in verse 19. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work uncleanness. How much uncleanness? How much? All uncleanness. And that word uncleanness means the impurity of lustful living. And that's the day and age in which we're living, folks. Now look how it finishes that in verse 19. To work all uncleanness. With what? With greediness. With greediness. And so there's a self-centeredness, a self-serving, a self-seeking. We turn lives inward. Anything that I want, it's all about me. It's all about me. Life's all about me. My decisions are all about me. Whatever I do, it's all about me. It's up to me. You don't have anything to do with it. I'll do it my way. And so then it becomes covetous, and we desire more. That's what he's saying here. That's what he's saying. But listen, don't lose track of who he's talking to. He's talking to the church, and he's already told us in verse 17, you ain't supposed to be living like that from henceforth, from now on, from this moment on. Don't be living like the ungodly heathen are out there, like those other Gentiles. Don't be living like them. Don't be living like the godless person. Don't be living like the unsaved person. Don't be living like the heathen. Don't be living like the non-Christian. Don't be living like the unchurched. He's saying, come on, church, listen up here. How are they living? Well, they got a godless walk. It's because their minds are darkened, their spirits are dead, and their lives are defiled. You see, what he's saying here is that sin creates an appetite for more sin. Have you ever discovered that personally? Sin creates an appetite for more sin. Let me suggest some things to you. Some of you are into pornography. Men, especially. Men, some of you are into pornography. You are. And we come to church as if everything's fine. But the reality is you're going to be back on the, especially with the onslaught of the internet. Man, that just becomes so prevalent for you. And the reality is some of you flat out gotten hooked with it. And some of you are even more blatant than that. You're buying the magazines, you're buying the filthy books, and you got it at home, you got it under the mattress, you got it in the drawer, you got it in your desk. And some of you, you're coming to church on Sunday morning, but the reality is, you know good and well that before this evening's over, you're going to be back on the internet, or you're going to be back in your magazine, and you're going to be soaking up the pornography. And some of you can't wait to get to the office where you've got your own private password, and you can get on it there. And some of you can't wait for your wife to be gone so you can get on it there at the computer at home. And you have discovered that you have an unbridled lust. You think you got a license to get into it, and there's a shamelessness about it. And you're into all uncleanness, the impurity of lustful living, with greediness, and you've turned everything inward. Everybody with me? I mean, following what I'm saying? And the reality is some of you are flat out hooked on it, and you know it. And some of, we talked about TV a while ago, and some of you are flat out hooked on TV and all the filth and all the trash that's coming into your living room and consequently into your mind. And the reality is you're not going to let anything interfere with your favorite show on that particular evening at 7 o'clock, and then come 8 o'clock, you're going to sit there with a flipper and you're going to go to another network because that's your second favorite show, and you're going to watch that, and you're going to go all the way through the evening, and you're going to do that tonight, and you're going to do that tomorrow night because you're flat out hooked on it. And the reality is, there is almost nothing on TV to watch anymore that's good for the Christian's mind. And yet, we are into lasciviousness, unbridled lust. We think we got a license to do that. Listen, it's my TV, it's my easy chair, and it's my living room. I'm going to watch it. Give me the flipper. And yet we keep feeding our minds with that, and some of you ladies are deeply engulfed in the soap operas, and that ain't the reality of life, and you know that. And the fact of the matter is, you're allowing that to give you an opportunity, a license to fantasize with all the trash and all the stuff that you're watching on the soap operas, and some of you into romance novels, and I know there are some good Christian romance novels, but those ain't the kind some of you are into. You're into the filth, you're into the trash. And you're feeding your mind on that type of thing that is not honorable to Jesus Christ, and I'm not honoring to the Christian and not honoring to the church. Paul's talking to the church. He's saying, from henceforth, we ain't going to live like the unchurched do. We ain't going to live like the heathen do. We ain't going to live like the unsaved people do. But the reality is some of you are. And drinking, some of you into drinking. I don't know how many conversations I've had in this last year. I just have a glass of wine with this. All I did is just drink a bottle of beer here and there. And I'm thinking, why? Why? What in the world are you dealing with spiritually? How good is it for you? How good is it for your witness? And the reality is some of you, and I share this with some people, every last alcoholic I've ever talked to, I've never had them tell me any different. They say to me, it just began with social drinking, just began with one drink. The first time I drank, I never did get drunk the first time. But I do now. Some of you into drugs because you think you got a license to do it and you're shameless about it. And some of you into an adulterous situation and you're working on an adulterous situation at the office and you're willing to meet and you have met in a motel. And if you can catch that convention or if you can catch her gone, your wife gone or your husband gone, and you're gonna pick up the telephone and you're gonna make that phone call to him or her, and you know flat out it's wrong. It's wrong. There's nothing right about it. I don't care how good it feels and how good you think it feels. Ain't nothing right about it, and you know that. And some of the books you read. They're not honoring to Christ. They're not gratifying to the spiritual soul. And videos and DVDs, good land. I can't imagine you standing in line getting ready to pay for one of those things, knowing flat out well that when you get home with it, you're going to go down to your living room and you're gonna pull the blinds, and probably you're going to make the kids go to bed because you ain't going to let them watch it. But in fact, you know you're going to soak it up, and it's filthy stuff that you know is not healthy for your spiritual life. And Paul is saying, we ain't going to live like that. From henceforth, from now on, we ain't going to live like the unsaved people do. And the internet, some of the chat rooms you're in, some of the things you're saying on the chat rooms, and some of the relationships you're building in those chat rooms, you ain't speaking for Christ. You ain't speaking up for Christ. You ain't sharing the gospel. And you know it. You're getting sucked in. You've been sucked in. It's not just a matter of being sucked in. You've done exactly what he says right here. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over deliberate decisions you've made. And man, we can't wait to get into the chat room. And some of you have no idea what your teenagers and what your kids are doing in the chat rooms and on the internet. And some of the internet games that your kids are playing and you're allowing them to have in the home, and some of the books that you're allowing your kids to read at home, as well as all the other kids. No, we're talking about Christian kids now. We're talking about your kids. We're talking about their minds and their spirit and their heart. And Paul is saying, come on, church. He's saying, we ain't going to live like the lost world does. And some of the stuff that these chat rooms on the internet do, and you get sucked into it, and you allow yourself to get involved in some of the sex talk that's going on, not only on the internet, anywhere, my friend, anywhere. It's amazing. Well, Lord willing, next week we're going to see this contrast. You're thinking, man, I hope this sermon's over. We're going to see the contrast next week. We've looked at a godless walk for these 2 weeks. Next week we'll get into the contrast. It's an obvious contrast. You'll see it. You'll see it. Starts with verse 20. Very obvious, where he's talking about a godly walk. We've been looking the last 2 weeks at a godless walk. Let me close with these four things. You might want to write these down. Because you see, the tragedy is, and it is a tragedy, folks. The tragedy is that for many so-called Christians, now listen to what I'm saying here. For many so-called Christians, there's no difference. There's no difference in your life from the unsaved. I'm gonna give you four things here. I'm just saying to you, the tragedy is that for many so-called Christians, there is no difference. And that's what Paul is addressing here. That's exactly what he's saying to the church. He said there is a difference, and there better be a difference, and there ought to be a difference. Because you either got it, or you ain't got it. So I'm partially Christian. That's like saying, well, I'm partially pregnant. Uh-uh. Doesn't work that way. So you either in possession or you're not in possession. You either got Jesus or you ain't got Jesus. You either got salvation or you ain't got salvation. You either got Christianity or you ain't got Christianity. You either got God's Spirit or you ain't got God's Spirit. You either got God or you ain't got God. Four things. Here's why. You may be backslidden and carnal. Now, that's biblical. It's not healthy for you, and it's sure not healthy for Christianity. But you might be in that category. Once upon a time, you knew you were saved. You were walking with God. You had that experience with God, but you backslid, carnal. And like I said, it's a tragic, it's terrible for Christianity for you to be living like that. But that may be number one. Either backslidden and carnal. Or, here's the next one. You're compromising and uncommitted. You've gotten away from, you know, you've been down South Street. You've gotten away from God. Gotten away from God's voice. Sins come into your life. Hardness come into your life. Wrong habits come into your life. You've gotten too accustomed to society. And so you got to compromising in your life, and you're uncommitted in your Christianity. And again, that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for you, and it's unfortunate for Christianity, but that happens. So you either, and what I'm talking to you about, I'm saying that the tragedy is that for many so-called Christians, that your lives are not any different than the heathen, than the unsaved, than the unchurched. Because you're backslidden and carnal, or compromising and uncommitted, or ignorant of the expectations of Christianity. And that may be. Some you may say, well, you know, when I walked the aisle, some preacher stood up there and said, man, if you walk the aisle and give your life to Jesus Christ, that's all there is to it. Well, he lied to you, my friend. If a preacher told you that, and if that's what you heard, then you got suckered with a lie on that. Because when you give your life to Jesus Christ, it is an exchanged life. That ain't all there is to it, my friend. That's just the beginning. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, that's just nothing but the beginning. It is an exchanged life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? New. And so you may well be just ignorant of the expectations of Christianity, which is why you're living like you're living. So I'm saying to you that the tragedy is that for many so-called Christians, their lives are no different than the unsaved. Because backslidden and carnal, compromising and uncommitted, ignorant of the expectation of Christianity, or you're unsaved. You have that godless relationship. You say, well, wait a minute, Jay, I'm a Baptist. Well, I was too before I got God in my life. I don't recommend that. And I sure don't recommend leaving this life with that. Well, Jay, I've been baptized. Well, all that means you go to hell wet, my friend. And you could give me all kinds of things. I'm asking, you either got it or you ain't got it. You either got Jesus or you ain't got Jesus. I cannot talk any plainer than that. But I don't know your heart, and you did. And the Holy Spirit of God is revealing to you right now where you stand. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray with you. And then we're going to have an invitation. And I'm telling you, if I concluded that I had a godless life, I'd be running down the aisle. I would be running down the aisle. And in Fellowship Hall, I'd be running forward to say, somebody help me find Jesus. And we'll put you with a counselor so that before you leave this place today, you can know that from now on, your life belongs to God and God belongs to you. My friend, I wouldn't hide behind anything. I wouldn't hide behind the fact I'm a Baptist. I wouldn't hide behind the fact that I've been baptized. I wouldn't hide behind the fact that I belong to some other church. I wouldn't hide behind the fact I give money here. I wouldn't hide behind the fact I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a deacon. I'm this. I'm that. My friend, you either got Jesus or you ain't got Jesus. I'd be running to Jesus. Now, I'm going to encourage people that do have Jesus. And you know you got Jesus. I'm going to encourage you. Now, I wouldn't normally encourage this, but I'm going to encourage you to get in their way today. Because the moment we stand, I want to invite you, church people, to come to the altar and to pray for those that aren't churched, those that aren't saved. I invite the church. You know, now it may be, you know you're a Christian. But maybe you're backslidden and carnal or compromising and uncommitted. Maybe you're ignorant of the expectation of Christianity. That may be the first thing you want to do down here in your knees. But if you know you got it, then I want you to come and pray for those who don't have it. Those who don't have Christianity. Those who don't have Jesus. And I want to encourage you, get in their way. Just flood this aisle and come and kneel on altar prayer and pray. Pray for the lost. Pray for the unchurched. Pray for those that don't know Jesus Christ. And there's some right here in this auditorium that are getting gut level honest with themselves right now, maybe for the first real time in their life. And they're saying, I ain't got it. I don't have Jesus. And so I want to invite Christians to come and pray for them. And maybe you need to pray for yourself as you get started at the altar today. Let me pray with you, please. Father, I thank you. Thank you for Jesus, and thank you that we can have Him. And I thank you, Father, for the fact that when you got Him, you got life. You got everlasting life. You got God. And you don't have to live a godless relationship, a godless life. Father, some people here today, they ain't got God. They don't have you. I pray that you give them the courage today to run to Jesus, to come to Him. Get their lives changed now and forevermore. And Father, I pray for the church. I pray that you'd help us to come in repentance. Help us to come as intercessors. Help us to come as people with Jesus who know we have Jesus and who want to desperately share Jesus with a world who desperately needs Jesus. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. You come.
Thank you for listening to this Hope Chest audio sermon presentation. We invite you to visit our website at www.hereshopeamerica.com for additional audio and video presentations and to contact us if we can be of help to you. We would gladly welcome your partnership with this ministry, as well as welcoming your prayers and the opportunity to pray for you. May God bless you is our prayer. For Here's Hope America, my name is Richard Clare, reminding you, hope has a name, Jesus.